What is up, young adults? Thanks for tuning in today. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Also, follow us at YA_PowerOfLove. And as always, thanks for tuning in.
Hey, Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for every young adult here, Lord. As your word says, we enter into your presence with thanksgiving and we come into your courts with praise. So we praise you tonight. Just begin to thank the Lord for all that he's doing in your life. Let's go before the Lord and thank him. Open up your mouths and appreciate what the Lord is doing in your lives. If you are here, if you have breath in your lungs, if you have eyes to see, if you have ears to hear, you have a reason to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Lord, we honor you tonight. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a wonderful God. Thank you that you're the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're the creator of the universe. You are God Almighty. You are the great God, the God who never loses, the God who always wins, the God who brings about victories in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that there is absolutely nothing too hard for you. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation. Thank you for redeeming us, for rescuing us from the pit of hell and putting our feet on the rock to stay. Lord, we are grateful that we are saved. We are born again. We are learning about who Jesus is day in and day out. And we are living for you until Jesus returns, Father. I pray, Lord, for every young adult here. Open up their hearts, Lord. Open up their ears. Anoint their ears to hear the word that you have for them tonight. I pray, Lord, that not one young adult would leave the same way that they came in. As they've come tonight, bless them. Bless them abundantly with your grace, with your power, and with your presence, Father. I thank you, Lord, for tonight's salvations. For your name, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that there would be people healed in the name of Jesus, that people would receive the answer that they're looking for, that any questions that they have is met in the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you do a mighty work in their hearts and in their minds and cause them to be transformed day in and day out as a result of this word. We love you, Lord. We honor you tonight. We're here and we're hungry for your presence, for who you are, to know you more, Lord. And we just pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Well, thank you, worship team. That was awesome. And thanks, y'all, for coming. Welcome again for everyone who has come in. Thanks for being here. This is the third Houston Young Adults of 2023. We're excited that y'all are here. Tonight is going to be a great night. And if you are here, you're going to receive a word and your lives will never be the same. So turn to someone and tell them you're going up tonight. And then you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, we have people like sit in the back. If y'all want to come up close. That'd be awesome because I can't really see y'all back there with these lights. So if you will, just come be cozy. Be cozy. No? Yeah, awesome. Well, my name's Courtney Garcia. Hi to everybody online. There's people watching online, I believe. So welcome. Yeah, there's people online. Cool. So it's going to be super, super fun. Tonight, I'm getting a text message. Oh, okay. I do want to do a little bit of announcements we didn't announce earlier. We will have pizza after service. So stay after and come and eat with us and fellowship. Get to know all the other young adults. And then if you have a testimony from tonight, if you have a testimony from another night, come and let us know. We want to hear that. And we're going to be doing a little something with those testimonies. So that's a little side note there. And then also, I just want to say hi to my sister. My sister's here. This is my sister. A lot of y'all might have heard, I've testified before just about her. So it's very special that she's here. So I'm from New Orleans and she's also from New Orleans. So she's in town. She drove all the way in today to be here tonight. And so I'm so happy that she's here and I'm blessed because the Lord has done amazing things in her life. She has a powerful testimony, And yeah, I'm just glad she's here. And I'm glad y'all are here. Tonight is going to be great. So I have a word for y'all. And, you know, every time we meet for young adults, one of the things I want to stir us all up in, because we're young and we're adults, but like we're not youth anymore. We're not kids. We have families. We have husbands. We have wives. And some of us don't have them yet, but we're in that stage of life that we're starting our lives. We don't have anyone to do that we're depending on but God. And so we got to know God more than ever. We need to know what it means to plug in our faith to God and receive all that he has for us. And I'm so grateful that I'm saved now. I'm not saved later in life. But we're saved now and we're born again. Being born again is the greatest thing in the world. It is the greatest gift. And so if I'm born again, I want to live in everything that God has for me. And as young adults, we're not a young adult group that's weak. We're not a young adult group that's raising up just casual Christians, just okay with just being saved. Just I'm going to heaven and that's it. But we're about having supernatural lives. We're about seeing God do amazing things in us and through us. That's the way that our lives should look. And so I always want to share that and make the realities of the word real to us. Because when they're real to us, we live in them and we experience them. And then our lives are a sign and a wonder to the world. So with that, I'm going to talk about faith tonight. I'm going to talk about, I titled this, Faith, It Works. It's kind of punny because faith, it actually does work. It's possible to live a life of faith. So yes, faith does work. But also, when you have faith, if you're going to live the life of faith, it's a life that is working. A faith is not just letting God do his thing. Faith, we have a part to play in faith. So our faith works. So we're going to talk about that tonight. So if you have your Bibles, and if not, they have it on the screen behind us. We're going to go to Romans 1, verse 17. And it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." In other versions, it says, the righteous shall live by faith. So just to break that down a little bit, if you are born again, if you are redeemed, if you've given your life to Jesus, you have been justified. You have been made righteous. And so what that means is that you are a righteous person. You are just. So what does the righteous person do? What does the just person do? The Bible says the just person lives by faith. That's a characteristic of us now. We started in faith, so it says that there is a righteousness of God that was revealed from faith to faith. So we were born again by faith, and our life, our new life in Christ Jesus, continues by faith. So we don't just start in faith, and then we just, like I said, just continue to live. And then once we die, we go to heaven. We are continuously living a life of faith. Our life must be lived by faith. So our new life in Christ was birthed and sprung up by faith, and it must continue to live by faith. This new life that we have is invigorated by faith. Faith will be the only way that your new life in Christ will continue. On and on. When your faith stops, when your faith in Jesus stops, and when your faith in his word stops, your new life stops. When faith stops, life stops, because we live by faith. So we must keep this faith alive. It is vital to our spiritual life. So we're talking about faith and the importance of living by it every day as a believer. Because we're believers, we're not doubters anymore. We are believers, we live by faith. So a couple things about faith before I define what it is and how we grow it, how we use it in our lives. Hebrews 11:6 says in the Amplified, it says, without faith, it is impossible to walk with God. I liked it in that version. It is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. So this verse says, we can't be pleasing or even satisfactory to the Lord without faith in him, without trusting him. What pleases God is our faith. What pleases God is when we come to him and we know my God is God, and I also know that he's a rewarder. He's going to reward me for seeking him. We can't walk with the Lord without faith. If we choose to live independent of God, that's how we used to be. We were independent of God. We were trusting in anything and everything besides him. You cut yourself off from God ever being able to bless you. But when you're hooked in with God, that's how the supernatural can happen in your life. When you are in faith in God, that is how you get access into God doing miraculous things in your life. So we must live by faith, and we must grow our faith. All right, Hebrews 11. Verse 2. Got a tickle in my throat. Okay. Love this verse. One more sip, y'all. Sorry about this. Okay. Love this verse. Okay. Hebrews 11:2. For by faith, trust and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimonies born to them, and they obtained good reports. So it's by faith that we get supernatural things of God. That's how you obtain testimonies, by your faith. That's how you get good reports in your life, by faith. Only by faith will supernatural testimonies and good reports be birthed in your life. So faith is not just, thank you, thanks. I just feel like I'm going to need a little water. Okay, so faith is not just a requirement, but it's a mighty force in our life. We can grow our faith. We can increase our faith. Our faith in us can increase and enlarge exceedingly. But we have to know that first. We have to know that we have it, and it must be developed. And we have a responsibility to grow our faith. Our faith has unlimited capacity. Our faith can take us places that we can't take ourselves. But when we have faith, it makes capacities in us that are not available, available. And so our faith, once it's grown, it stretches us. It expands us. We can see things. We can do things. And we can't do that without faith, but with faith, we have unlimited capacity. Because faith is from God. It's drawn from God. We'll get into that. So there's greater and greater levels of faith. And when you tap into greater and greater levels of faith, there is greater and greater things that we can do in our lives. So let's define what faith is. And Pastor Sandy and I think Bishop David Oyedepo says this, but she says this all the time, and I coin it as hers. But she defines faith as faith is a living force. It's drawn from the living word to produce living proofs. Faith is a living force drawn from the living word to produce living proofs. So in Hebrews 11:1, it says that now faith is a substance. Substance. I looked up what that word substance means. It means it's a real thing. It exists. It's like, it's a substance. It's material. There is something there. It's an actuality. It's a force. Faith is a force. And if y'all are like physics, if you're a science person like me, when I studied physics, it defined physics as not physics. It defined a force as mass times acceleration. All right, I'm not going to do a science lesson here, but basically what that means is when a force is applied to something, it moves it. And so faith is a force that puts something into motion. It causes a change of situation. It causes things to change. Faith is a force. It's a substance. It's something that moves something. And we, as that definition said, it is drawn from the living word. So faith comes alive when the living word of God comes alive on the inside of you. So faith comes alive. This force of faith comes alive when the word becomes alive on the inside of you. And so it's a force. It comes from the word, and it has living proofs. It produces evidence in your life. Faith is not just to have. It is to do something mighty and supernatural and miraculous in your life that will bring great glory to God. It's not something that you just say, I have faith, and it doesn't show anything. What's the point? But when you know Jesus, things change. When you link up with Jesus, things move in your life because of the faith that comes along with knowing Jesus. Faith is real and authentic only when it's demonstrated. The evidence of real faith is proofs. So that's what faith is. Another definition of faith is faith is obeying God to prove that you believe him. And as you do obey him, he's committed to confirm his word. I'll say that again. Faith is obeying God to prove that you believe him. It's a proof that you believe him when you obey him. And as you do that, he is committed to confirm his word. Doing what God has said is proof that you believe him. So if we say, I have faith, then we obey him to prove, God, I really do believe you. I believe you, so I'm acting on this faith. I'm doing what you say. Faith is not real until steps are taken in obedience. So steps are taken. You act on your faith. Faith is performing our part, so then God is able to do his part. And that's big. This became so real to me that there's two parts to see the supernatural. There's the natural part, and then there's the super part, which is God. We do the natural part, he does the super part. So faith is performing our part so God is able to do his part. We do the easy part. We do the part we can do. God will never tell us something to do that we can't do. We are able to do the part that God asks us to do. It's simple. It's easy. It's something we can do. But God does the things that we can't do. He does the impossible things. He does the things that we can't even think up on our own. He does the supernatural part. We do the easy part. He does the part we are never able to do, the impossible part. Let's go to James 2, verse 18. So also, faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, this is in the Amplified, by itself it is destitute of power. It's inoperative. It's dead. So in other translation, it says faith without works is dead. But someone will say to you, you say that you have faith and I have good works. Now show me your alleged faith apart from any good works, if you can. But I, by the good works of obedience, will show you my faith. So our faith is demonstrated by what we do, how we act, how we obey what God says, what we're doing with what we hear from the word of God. So that is faith, is obeying God to prove that you really believe him, that you trust him, that at your word, there's Peter. Jesus told Peter on his boat, Jesus told Peter on his boat, let down your nets and go for a catch. And what did Peter say? Peter said, we toiled all night, but at your word, I'll obey you. I'll do it. And he obeyed him because he trusted him, because he believed him. So he did something. He acted in that moment. You have an option there to hear what God says and to do it and obey, or to not and miss out on God's best. Miss out on the supernatural catch that was coming his way. Because what happened? They caught enough fish to take in a whole boat and a whole nother boat. They were sinking so much fish. If you're needing anything, obey what God says and trust him. By your faith, you activate the supernatural part that God is able to do in your life. What is faith? We're talking about what is faith. Faith is being fully persuaded of God's word until that word is manifested and is victorious in your life. Faith is being fully persuaded of God's word until that word is triumphant in your life, until that word is made manifest and made good in your life. Let's go read about Abraham. Faith is being fully persuaded. Romans 4, verse 17. I'm in the NLT for this one. It says, that what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. So it says that Abraham believed in God, but what God did he believe in? He believed in the God that was able to bring the dead things back to life. He believed in God was able to reverse the irreversible. If there's something that's dead in your life, if there's something that's so far gone, he believed that God was able to turn it around for him. And it says also that he believed in the God who created new things out of nothing. In other versions of that scripture, it says he believed in the God who called the things that were not as though they were. So they didn't exist. But he believed in the God who did create them. He believed in the God who was able to do something about the situation. Verse 18. So even though there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept on hoping. So a little bit about Abraham's story. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife was basically in the same realm. And God told them, you're going to be a father. And you're not just going to be a father. You're going to be a father of multitudes. You're going to be a father of many nations. And to him who was so old, past the point of being able to give birth, it seemed impossible. It was like the word says, when there was no reason to hope that what God said was true, he still trusted. He still believed in God. He still believed that what God spoke to him was true and was going to come to pass. So that's Abraham. So he started calling him the father of many nations even before he had a child. It says, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. So even when there was no reason to hope, verse 18, Abraham kept on hoping. That means that Abraham was staying in expectation. It says he believed that he would become who God said he was. He believed that he would have what God promised was his. He believed that he would do what God says he can and he would do in his life. Amen. He was fully persuaded. Let's go to verse 19, because that's where it says, that's where I want to get to. Verse 19. Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. Verse 21, he was fully convinced. Say fully convinced. He was fully persuaded that God was able to do whatever he promised to him. Abraham was fully persuaded upon God's word until that word was manifested. So faith is continually being convinced and persuaded during the time that you're waiting for that child, that he was waiting for his son to come. He was waiting for what God spoke to him to come to pass. He did not waver in his faith, but in that time, it says he was actually growing his faith. He was developing his faith. He was hearing, he heard what God told him, and in that moment, he didn't reject it. He actually grew his faith. He didn't let his faith waver, but he believed what God said about me is true, and it's mine, and I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to be unconvinced of what God told me. I'm going to see it. And Abraham did. Faith will take you to the place of victory in that word by being fully persuaded of the word. Faith is being fully persuaded. What's going to change when your faith is fully persuaded? When your faith is fully convinced, when you are a person that's fully convinced, what's going to change? Are you going to change? Are you going to change the way that you're believing? Is the word going to change? No. What's going to change is the situation's going to have to change. When you're fully convinced that God's word is true, and you know God's word will never change. The Lord's word says, my word will remain the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word is established. It's settled in heaven. God's word will never change. When he spoke it, he meant it. And so if God said it, it's going to happen. What happens is people back away from their faith because the situation. They back away because they see something that's not changing. And then they change the way that they're thinking about the word. The word's changing the same. Then they change and their situation doesn't change. But what needs to happen is the situation's got to change. That means I'm not going to change my mind about what God's word says. And I know God's word's not going to change. So those two things aren't going to change. So what's going to change? My situation. The circumstances are going to change. What I'm seeing in the natural must change. If there's anything in your life that's frustrating, if you feel stuck in your life, if you are battling with anything, that thing will change by faith. The word has promises. God has good things for you. Don't be moved by the circumstances. Don't back away because things don't seem like they're changing. Be fully persuaded that God's word is true, that he is who he said he will be. Just like Abraham, he believed that he will be who God said he will be. He believed that I will have what God promised I can have. If God says I am blessed, then I'm going to walk in the blessing of God. If God said I am healed, then I'm going to walk healed all the days of my life. And you have to get like that with whatever you're believing. I had to believe like that when I had battled with anxiety, having no peace, with fear. I would get the word, and if a fear tried to come, I wasn't going to say, it's not working. God's word doesn't work. And then I would get moved, but I just believed that God's word worked. I had to take the word, and I said, no, God, my mind is being renewed. He restores my thinking process. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not have a need. I started to do the faith walk. I started to live by faith. I started to exercise that in every area. You do that in every area, not just one area, but every area. You get fully persuaded and fully convinced. When all hell seems to be breaking loose, have y'all been there? It happens to everybody. The devil doesn't want you to know these things that cause you to live victorious. He wants you to live in defeat. He wants to destroy your relationship with God. You get saved, and then he comes after you he's defeated. I'm not giving him glory here. I'm just saying he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. You realize that you never will put up with him because he's defeated. But he's going to try to do things to destroy and rob your relationship. So when all hell breaks loose, honestly, Do you got to do what the Bible says? Count it all joy. Wow, this must be a great opportunity for my faith to be activated in my life and me to actually see God do what he says he'll do. I know for me, I've shared this testimony before, but it was, I had sown my largest seed I've ever sown. I've emptied my bank account. And then a month later, I got fired. Go figure, right? And guess what? On top of that, it was during the pandemic when everybody else was losing their jobs and getting fired. No one was hiring during that time. It was the perfect recipe of disaster, right? And so in the natural, all hell was breaking loose. But guess what? Because I was fully persuaded and fully convinced that I'm never going down. I'm only increasing. God is my source and he's my provider. That's when I was like, this is it. Oh my gosh. I was excited. I was excited because I knew this whole situation was a perfect recipe for my faith to be released and to see the glory of God in my life. So when you're in those times where it seems like all hell is breaking loose, get excited because this is your opportunity and chance to see God do the most glorious things. It's not in the times when it's like, oh, I chipped a nail, that like something great's going to happen. Like it's like it's when it seems like it's really, really bad. That's when God is able to do the exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever think and imagine in your life. He does the unthinkable in your life, and you activate it by faith. That's why we must have faith, because those times are going to come. We have to be built, though. COVID's not the last thing that's going to happen. The Bible says that in the last days, there's going to be pandemics. There's going to be wars. There's going to be famines. There's going to be economic disasters rampant. We can't be people that are going to lay down and die in those moments and not use their faith. We have to be people that are developed in our faith, that know who their God is. And we will see the rewards of diligently seeking him now. Amen. So your circumstances are the things that are going to change in your life. Your circumstances must change. I remember during that time when I had that, when I lost my job, it was a glorious testimony. But what happened was there that scripture in Hebrews 11 came to me. Hebrews 11:3, it said, by faith, we know that the world was framed by the word of God. So the world is framed by the word of God. The world is being upheld by the word. My life is upheld by God's word. The way things happen in this world are not going to be dictated by my circumstances. It's going to be by the word. So I knew it didn't matter what was happening in my environment. They could be laying off everybody. I only need one job. And God was able to get me a job. God was able to create. And then that verse continues and it says, because we know that the world is, okay, there it is. Let me just read that. So the things that which are not seen were not made out of things which do appear. In another version, it says the things that are that we see, the things that are visible, were not created from things that are visible. They're actually created from invisible things. So that means when you're believing for something, you're not gonna see it. So it told me that I don't see my job right now. I see the situation, but it doesn't really matter because by faith, my thing that I'm believing for is going to show up. It's going to become visible. It might be invisible right now, but it's going to become visible. Because everything that you have and everything that you are looking for is already in the Word of God. It's already in the spiritual realm. So what you need is right here. That's it. That's what I need. Say I need a job. I need a job. It's right there. So then that's in the faith realm. So what I need to do is by faith, I take it. And I bring it into the natural realm. It's invisible now in the natural realm, but it's visible in the spiritual realm. So I saw it by faith. I took it by faith. I pulled it into the natural realm by faith, and it was manifested because you're fully persuaded. Amen. Moving on. Okay, faith. What is faith? Faith does not wait on God. Faith does not wait on God. Faith puts God's word to work. So to commit him to make good his words and his promise. So we talked about this a little bit, but it's not waiting. Faith is not waiting, it's acting. Faith is doing something about it to get the ball rolling. Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation. You work out your own salvation, it says. Work hard. So we have a part to play. We have a responsibility to work the word. And this is our faith. When we work the word, we are acting in faith. And that's pleasing to God. And our faith brings rewards. It brings the blessing that we're believing for. Doing what you know to do to see what God promises is faith. And I remember not really understanding this at first when I was learning about this. What does it mean to work the word? What does that mean, work the word? So you get the word. The Bible says, take no thought saying. Do not be anxious, but pray about everything. It says, cast your cares upon the Lord. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when you are faced with a situation, whatever it is, fear, anxiety, depression, insufficiency, lack, a relationship situation, whatever type of situation that you find yourself in, that's when you use the word and you do it. Cast your cares upon, I'm starting to get fearful, I'm starting to worry about this. I'm taking this and I'm casting it. I'm doing the word. I'm working the word. I'm doing my part, and then guess what? The fear leaves, and I live in the state of peace. I never have to be in fear. I never have to be in anxiety because I'm working the word. Amen. You study to show yourself approved. The Bible says, be strong and very courageous. So in a moment where you want to be weak, you want to lay down and quit, you want to cry, you want to die, you want to whatever, you want to let go and let this go off the rocker. I'm going to be strong. No, in that moment, the Bible says to be strong. So then I do the word. I work the word in that moment. I do the word. And you might say, I don't have the strength to do it. You can. That's when you pull out Philippians 3:14. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me strength. You can and you will. James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. Wow. Whenever I read that, I'm like, oh, it just hits you. You'd be fooling yourself if you think you can just sit here and listen and not do anything. Oh. And so you're like, I'm not going to be a fool. I won't be a fool. Say that. I'm not going to be a fool. I'm going to do the word. I'm not just going to listen. I'm going to be a hearer. For if you listen to the word and you don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. You'll get the other part. You'll get the supernatural part. You'll get what God says you'll get when you do your part. It's just like if you were here and you're hearing this, but you don't do anything about it after. You know there's some things that the Lord's speaking to you about some things, and you know that there's some things that you got to do. And if you hear this word and then leave and don't do anything about it, then what happens, it's just like you're the person that looks in the mirror and you forget what it looks like. But activate your faith by being a doer and not being just a hearer. You are also a doer. You're a doer of the word. Your genuine faith has work to do. Everyone that has genuine faith has work to do. Every word from God will put a responsibility and a task on you. Yes, there is something for you to do to work your faith. Amen. So, all right, I'm wrapping up soon. But I want to, that's what faith is. All that stuff, that's what faith is. There's so much more about faith, but that's some things about faith. And then I want to talk to you about how to grow your faith. How do I build my faith? How do I develop my faith? And how do I actually put my faith into action so that it can produce proof and supernatural results in my life. So, how do I grow my faith? Simply, it's the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. So faith comes by the word of God. So faith is at the root. The word of God is at the root of every faith that will work in your life. Any faith that's outside of the word, that's not rooted in the word is fake faith, and it's not going to work. So you might say, I have faith, but it's not rooted in the word, it won't work. But the faith that works is rooted and it's developed and it's grown and it's strengthened by the word of God. And that's how you will produce the works that come from it. This is the master key to developing your faith, the word of God. And this scripture I'm about to read. It's the master key, and it can be applied to anything and everything in your life. Joshua 1, verse 8. This is how to develop and use your faith. Joshua 1, 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Say mouth. But you shall meditate. Say meditate. In it day and night, that you may observe to do. Say to do. According to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So there's three things that we do, and then God does his part. He makes you prosperous. He makes you successful. He gives you good success. So if I know that it's God's word in me, that's the key to growing my faith. That's the key to working my faith. How do I get God's word in me? So from this verse, it says, number one, it's talking the word. You keep it in your mouth. Number one, talk God's word. And I know Georgie, last time he talked about the tongue, so I won't talk about it too much. But talking the word of God is vital to getting faith on the inside of you. We have to talk it all the time. It says in Matthew 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. I used to not really believe that because I used to be like, I'm just saying it doesn't really mean that I believe it. But if you are speaking it, it's in your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So how do I get my heart filled with the right things? That's the biggest thing. How do I actually put the word in my heart? The Bible says that David said this. He said, my tongue, my mouth is the pen of a ready writer. David said, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So what is our tongue? Our tongue is a pen. So pens, you write. What are you writing? And where do you write? It says also in Proverbs, write these sayings on the tablet or the notebook or the journal of your heart. So to get the word of God in your heart, you actually must use your tongue, use your mouth, and speak. You have to speak God's word out of your mouth. And as you speak it, I know it's weird to think that you're speaking it out, but it's writing on your heart. But that's exactly what it's doing. It's putting that on your heart. And so now the word is inscribed in your heart. And then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So, first thing, talk God's word. What you put in is what's going to come out. Number two, in Joshua 1:8, meditate on the word. This is how you're going to grow your faith. Talk the word and then meditate on the word. So you might say, I'm not believing these words. How do I get to believe? I want to believe this word. I actually want to have faith in my heart. How do I do that? You're not going to change the beliefs in your heart just because you want it to change. You change it by deliberately causing it to change by what you're thinking about. You meditate on it. I'm going to fix my mind on these things. I'm not just going to read the word, but I'm going to be deliberately and intentionally thinking about it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to make it real to me. I'm going to personalize it. I'm going to think about this word. If the word says I will only go up, I will only increase and I will never decrease, I'm going to think about that. I will only increase and I will never decrease. That doesn't seem like that's happening in my life. You might be like thinking that, and so you're not really believing it. So you have to intentionally think about it. You're thinking about how it applies to your life. I'm personalizing it. Think about how it applies to your situation. You're meditating and letting it like sit and saturate and get all around whatever it is. Healing. I picture myself healed. I picture that part of my body healed. I picture that part of my mind healed. I picture me without anxiety. I picture me without depression. I picture myself without the thing that I'm struggling with. And I see it. I meditate on it. I'm thinking about it. And when you're doing that, you're thinking the word of God, and you're not thinking about the other things that clog your mind. You're changing the way that you think. You are totally letting that word become alive to you. That's when your faith will become alive, is when that word in you becomes alive. Number three is big, because a lot of people might just do number one and number two. They believe it. I know I'm healed. And they just get to the point where they just know, and like they don't actually act on it. So they get stuck here. But this number three is big. To grow your faith, to develop your faith, you have to do what it says. That verse, Joshua 1:8, it says that you may observe to do. So you do your part of the word. This is the end result of you keeping the word in your mouth and you meditating on it. Then the next thing is you do it. Only acting, doing, working, and obeying the word will activate and launch God into doing his part. It's like a baton. And have you ever seen those little races? They run, one person runs, they pass the baton, another person runs, they pass the baton. That's exactly what this is. When you do your part, it's like, your turn. You're saying, God, your turn. I do my part, then God is able to do his part. I pass the baton to him. I did the needful. I trusted him. I believed in him. I spoke the word. I got it in me. And then I let God do what he can do. I pass the baton to him. This is the formula for growing your faith. Simple. But why don't people do it? It's actually doing it. It's being a hearer and then a doer. Build your faith. Your life is dependent on you growing this faith. Matthew 7. There's a difference between the two men that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7. He talks about hearers only and then hearers and doers. So there's two men, they go through the same things. They have a storm that comes in their life. One man hears what Jesus says and he doesn't do anything about it. And so when the storm came, his whole life was lost. It was catastrophic. But then another man, he heard what Jesus said. He heard his teachings, and then he did something. It says that he built his house on a strong foundation. We sang that song right before. We sing about it, but we must do our part. He built his life on a strong foundation. He built his house, it says. And then when a storm came, when the winds came, when the waves came, when the waters came, that house was not moved. It was not shaken. He didn't lose anything. He came out victorious. He was still standing. But the person that just heard and didn't do was lost. There's a difference between just being a hearer and being a hearer and a doer. So this part of faith is vital. All three parts. How do I get this faith? How do I believe? I talk it. And then I meditate on it. See how it actually applies to my life. And then I do it. And I will see what God says will happen in my life. So the worship team can come up. We're just about done. But I want to read Romans 10, verse 11. And I don't know what version this says. I just really like this version. It said, the scripture says that no one who has faith will ever be disappointed in their life. No one who has faith will be put to shame. No one who trusts God will ever be put to shame. God's not going to put you to shame for trusting him and believing his word. He will make sure that if you are trusting him, if you believe him, if your whole life is dependent on him, he's going to come through for you. I know it because he's done it for me. I've been in those situations where it's like, all I have is God. If he doesn't come through for me, I have nothing and I am nothing. But that's when I'm clinging on to him and he comes through and he shows himself to be glorious. He does what he says. He proves himself faithful when I give him a chance to be faithful in my life by my faith. I have to give God room to do something. We don't have to, let's not cut him off. Let's not limit God. He's limitless. He's capable of doing anything. If you have anything in your life that's got to turn around, by faith, it can be turned around by the power of God, because you're letting God do something. You have a part to play, but God will do his part when you do your part by believing and trusting him. So I just want you to leave tonight excited about faith. This faith is a force that will give you results. It comes from the word. It takes the word getting on the inside of you, but it's possible, and it produces the things that you can't even do on your own. Supernatural. It'll take you from, like Abraham believed, it'll take the dead and bring it back to life. It will cause things that are not created to be created in your life. If you're believing for anything, if you want anything, God has it in his word, and it can be discovered. You can put your faith in it. You can trust God. Do your part, and God will do the supernatural in your life. Be determined that I'm leaving tonight, and I'm going to be determined. I'm going to grow my faith. I'm going to build it to be strong, so that no matter what storm comes in my life, I'm going to be found to be unshaken. I'm going to be a person that cannot be moved and cannot be shaken, because my faith is firmly fixed in Jesus. And be decided that I'm going to be a person that lives by faith. Because if I'm born again, I must live by faith. The just have their life by faith. See about it that you're going to be a person that's producing living proof, results, and fruit in your life. And because of that, people are going to know that you serve the living God. People are going to know that the God that you serve is the God that they want to serve, because they see proof and evidence in your life. Amen. So with that, y'all can stand up. We're going to just take a moment to pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Who was blessed tonight by this word? Amen. I want to pray. If you're here tonight, I'm going to give an opportunity to pray for several people. But if you're here tonight and you heard the word and you know, I'm not born again. I haven't given my life to Jesus. I haven't made him the Lord and Savior of my life. But I heard about Jesus tonight. I heard about the good things that he has for me, and I want that life. If you know that tonight, if you were to lay your head on the pillow and you were to never wake up, for whatever reason, or if Jesus were to come back, and you know, I don't know for sure if I'm going to go to heaven, I want you to know tonight, there's a God that loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. He came to forgive you of all sin. He came to save you, and he came to give you a fresh slate and a clean start. And so no matter what has happened in your life, the Bible says that he has a forgiveness. He has eternal life for you, and you can receive him tonight and know for sure that I'm going to go to heaven. So if you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to, just lift up your hand, and I'm going to include you in this prayer. Let me know. Pray for me tonight. You can lift up your hand. Amen. Okay. And y'all can close your eyes and bow your heads also, because we're going to do some prayer. And then the second group of people that I want to pray for is if you have given your life to Jesus, but for whatever reason, you find yourself in a place where you're far away from God. You know, I used to be near to the Lord. I used to have faith in Jesus. I used to live a life of faith, but something happened in my life that has drawn me away from God. The devil has tried to steal my relationship with God. He's taken me far away, and I feel distant. I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven, but I want to make sure tonight I am going to heaven, and I have a home in heaven, and Jesus is in my heart. So if that's you and you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, lift up your hands and let me know. Include me in this prayer. If that's you, just lift up your hands so I can pray for you. I see y'all's hands. Anyone else? Just lift up your hands. Okay, y'all can put y'all's hands down for a moment. Okay, so if you raise your hand on the first call or the second call, I want to pray with you, and I want to lead you to the Lord, and I want you to know for sure that you're going to heaven tonight. So if you will, I want you to be bold and courageous, and I want you to take a step forward and meet me here, and I'm going to pray for you. You can come to the altar, and we're just going to say a quick prayer. We're going to dedicate our lives to Jesus. So y'all can come and meet me here. And let's clap for them because this is dedication to the Lord. You want to come and pray? Okay, well, I'll come and pray for you. Okay, well, the third call is I want to pray for anyone who's believing for anything tonight. If you have something that you are believing the Lord to do in your life and you want prayer, if you want me to come in agreement, the Bible says that when two people agree on earth, it will be done. So we're going to say a prayer of agreement. I'm going to pray and we're going to receive what God has for us. If you need a miracle in your life, if you need God to turn around a situation, it takes the prayer of faith. The Bible says, call upon the elders of the church and have them pray the prayer of faith. So if you want that prayer for a turnaround in your life, a miracle, a sign, and a wonder, God is here. His presence is here. Miracles are bound to happen. He confirms his word. So if you need anything in your life for me to pray and stand in agreement for you with, come to the altar and we're going to pray for that. And then the last thing is if you want a fresh touch from heaven, if you need a fresh infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God, tonight is going to be your night to receive that. If you want a fresh touch with the fire of God, we know that God is not raising up people that are lukewarm. We're going to be a young adult group that's on fire for God. So if you want a fresh touch from the Lord tonight, you can also come up. Any of those people in that category, y'all can come up and I will lay my hands and pray for y'all after I pray for salvation. So y'all can come up and to the prayer altar.
You are the word at the beginning.
Thanks again for tuning in. Don't forget, you can always stay up to date with us and even message us on Instagram at YA_PowerOfLove. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next one.